Once again, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be before you and to present another lesson from God's Word. I feel very humbled to be the one to be before you, but I pray again that this lesson does come from God's Word, because that's what really matters. But God's Word is what's going to judge us in the last day. As we notice in the Old Testament, and last night, for example, we talked about Elijah, and you know, he was a character, and there was a particular incident that happened to him, and we could draw a lot of lessons from his life. But tonight, we also want to look at another character from the Old Testament, and his name is David. And what I like about David is that he received perhaps one of the greatest commendations that we can read about in the Scripture. A commendation that perhaps no other man has ever received from God. And this we find in Acts chapter 13 and in verse 22. And when he had removed him, that is Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So with this kind of stamp of approval from God, we see David was considered to be a man after God's own heart. You know, wouldn't it be nice if God could say that about each one of us? And so tonight, we think about David and how he was a hero to all his people. He was a very popular king. He was a famous person. In fact, if we probably had to try and name maybe five of the top men in the Bible, David would probably fit somewhere on that list. And so the question is tonight, what made David great? What made David the type of person that God would say that here was a man after my own heart? So tonight we're going to look at 10 items briefly as to maybe perhaps characteristics about David that made him great. And the beauty about these 10 points are that, you know, it's nothing special. You know, I don't think really David did anything magical that not one of us could do ourselves. And so perhaps out of this list of 10, we may find one point that we could work on and something that would help us to be great in the sight of God. Because that's a desire that I think each one of us have. So what was it that made David great? The first one is that he was reared under the influence of a good home. This is kind of like the very beginning, isn't it? His father, we see, taught him about Jehovah. And I think this is very evident from his writings. We know that David wrote a lot of the Psalms and how he always was praising God, even from a child. He praised God. He knew about the Lord. So very early in his life, he had a good influence. He had a good home where he grew up in. He was taught, for example, the honor of work at an early age. You know, nowadays kids, it's hard to make them do their chores, to get them to do specific jobs. You know, back when we were younger, when I was younger, we had specific tasks that we had to do. We had chores, and we were required to keep up with those. And so was David. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and in verse 11, as they were mentioning about the different sons of Jesse, and they referred to David, and notice what they said about David. This says in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 11, and throughout the evening we'll be referring a lot to the books of 1 Samuel and in 2 Samuel also. But in verse 11 it says, there remaineth yet the youngest son, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. So here is the youngest son, and what was he doing? He was out there performing his job, his duty, his chore, He was watching after the sheep. So we see again that this was one quality that I believe made David great. He also passed this influence to his son, Solomon. Because wasn't it Solomon who wrote these words in Ecclesiastes 12 and in verse 1? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So, it's just passed down from generation to generation. You know, we want our kids to do right and to be brought up properly. And it all starts with a godly home. In this home, we also find that David was one who obeyed his father. He actually obeyed his father. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, and in verse 20, we see that, of course, David's brothers, they were, you know, with the Israelites, they were in conflict with the Philistines. And we're told in verse 20 that David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went. Now notice the next part. As Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. But notice, why did he do it? Because that's what his father told him to do. He respected his father and he did as he was told. In Ephesians 6 and in verse 4, likewise, we're told as far as our children, you know, to honor your father and your mother. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This goes back again to rearing up our children under the influence of a godly home. And so what we can learn from this aspect of David's life is that it's very important to get started on the right track early in life. We need to learn about God. We need to teach our children about God's commandments. We need to teach them about His will and His authority. We need to teach them about the Bible. Bring them to church early in life. We can't wait until it's too late. You know, so oftentimes, I guess each one of us will probably look back and thought, well, you know, I wish I'd spent just a few extra minutes studying with my children about the Bible, or speaking about God, or about faith, or about baptism. And it's too late then. So let's not wait, you know. A lot of times children, as they grow up, they kind of get set in their ways. And it's hard for them to break those habits. And it's hard to go back to the past and teach them what we probably should have. So start early in life. I feel like perhaps one of our country's biggest problems today is that our youth do not respect authority. They don't respect the authority in the home. They don't respect their parents. Children don't respect perhaps their teachers. They don't respect the authorities that are in our government, policemen, things like that. As we just kind of look at the example of all the crimes that are being committed by our young people, why? It's because of lack of respect. I think that's a big, big part of it. So it's very important for us to create a Christian environment, a Christian home for our children. You know, that's just one point, one way to perhaps get them started, like David, to become great in the sight of God. Secondly, David had great trust and faith in Jehovah. Great trust and faith in Jehovah. And I suppose this is perhaps best exemplified in the fight that David had with Goliath. You know, we're all familiar with that. All the boys, I know Benjamin, he likes hearing the story about David and Goliath, you know, since he was little. David's one of his favorite characters because, you know, that's kind of a story where the little guy, he fights and he wins. You know, the underdog. We like the story where the underdog is able to overcome. And as we notice, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and looking at verse 37, notice the statement that David made as he was about to be challenged by this giant. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Now, how could David make a statement like that unless he had a lot of trust and faith in God? Because I'm sure he knew that he did not, as a little boy, stand a chance against Goliath. There's no way that he could have won unless God was with him. And he put all his faith in that one point. You know, it's almost like he was risking his life. You know, what if he was wrong? What if God failed him that time? He would have certainly died. But that just shows you how strong his faith was in the Lord Jehovah. In Psalms 23 and verse 1, he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Again, he recognized that it was God who was his provider, his sustainer. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, the shepherd is the one that's responsible for watching over the sheep. Psalms 27 and verse 1, he also writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So from his great trust and faith in God, what's the lesson that we can apply to our lives? Well, we also have to have that same kind of faith to believe that, you know, God will take care of us. Now, I know that's easy to say, but it's so hard to have faith in it. You know, it's hard to not be worried or not to be stressed out over the cares of this world. But if we have that faith in God, we can do it. In Matthew chapter 6, remember in verse 33, we're told to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Again, you know, we worry a lot, don't we? A few weeks ago in health class, I was studying with my students a section about stress and about worrying. And they had one story about this man. You know how he took care of his worries? He said that he would let Wednesday be his worry day. In other words, if there was anything to worry about, he wasn't going to think about it until Wednesday came. And when Wednesday would roll around, you know what? Just about half of the things that he was going to be worried about was already taken care of. And the other half didn't even occur. So, you know, really, we worry a lot for nothing. We have to have great trust and faith in Jehovah. David was also one who took advantage of his opportunities. If there was an opportunity there, he'd snatch it. If opportunity was knocking, he'd answer the door. Remember, he was the man who killed Goliath. You know, here was an opportunity, and he took it. In fact, if you think about it, he volunteered to fight against Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 25. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Wow, you know, the one that can defeat Goliath, you know, what an opportunity. You know, think of all the reward that he's going to receive if he comes through. And so it was David who took that opportunity. He also, when he had the opportunity in 2 Samuel chapter 6, when he had won a few battles against the Philistines, there was an opportunity now, because see, they were in control of the Ark of the Covenant. Here was an opportunity to take the Ark of the Covenant and return it back to Zion, back to Jerusalem, where it belonged. And that's what he did in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So again, what we can learn from this point about David is, you know, let's not be lazy. Let's not just sit around and do nothing, but let's also take advantage of our opportunities. There are a lot of opportunities out there. But we can't just sit and think that, you know, opportunity is going to come looking for us. A lot of times we have to look for it. We have to seek good work. We have to look for something good to do. But that requires action on our part. We have to go out after. Nothing is ever accomplished by staying home and watching TV, is it? David was also a lover of good men. Think about the relationship that David had with Jonathan. I mean, this, you know, he was closer than a friend, you might say. It's almost hard to say that they were best friends. There was just something special of the bond between David and Jonathan. It says so in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and in verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. These two fellows certainly had a special bond between them. Their souls were knit together. And David also loved Jonathan's son. Remember how later on, when Jonathan was killed, Saul and all his sons were killed, and David was, you know, he wanted to do something in honor of Jonathan. And he found out that Jonathan still had a son that was alive. So he went and he found out where Mephibosheth was, and he took him, and he said, okay, you know what, I'm, you know, because I cared so much for Jonathan, and, you know, I want to do the same to you. You know, I want to bring you to my palace. You're going to be able to sit and eat from my table. Everything that used to belong to Saul is now yours. And he did this. You know, this just shows how much that David loved good people. And in the same sense, we also need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Remember the first great commandment, we are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy mind. And then the second commandment, which is like unto it, we are to love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to be lovers of good people. In other words, that means we need to watch the company that we keep. Watch the company that we keep. We need to have concern for our fellow man's spiritual condition. We need to be a fisher of men and seek those that, you know, help those that are looking after God. Another thing that made David great was that he conducted himself properly. I mean, just overall, his life, he conducted himself wisely. We're told in 1 Samuel chapter 18 that he had received a good name. I mean, he was one that had a good report. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and, notice, behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Why? Because David behaved himself wisely. It's kind of interesting that basically the same thing is said about David in that same chapter, now in verse 14. It says, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And notice the result. And the Lord was with him. Just because David behaved himself wisely, God was with him. Just because David behaved himself properly, that's one of the things that made him great. And it can do the same for us. David was one that was loved by all because he was a good leader, 1 Samuel 18 and in verse 16. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. You know, he was like that shepherd leading the sheep. He was a good leader, and the people recognized that. And he was loved by all. Also consider the fact of how he conducted himself when he was before Saul, you know, probably his arch rival. 1 Samuel 19 and in verse 4. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. In other words, here's a young man pleading to his father, you know, please don't hurt David because he hasn't done anything to you at all. In fact, he's treated you nicely. Kind of reminds us of Matthew 5 and verse 44, how we're supposed to treat our enemies. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Again, I know it's hard to do, but it's something that we have to do if we want to try and reach that higher plateau of greatness before God. We have to conduct ourselves properly. We might also mention that David even received some good comments from his own enemy. 1 Samuel 29, verse 6. Then Achish, now this was a Philistine, remember these, you know, these men were at war with David. It says that he called David and he said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. You know, here was one of the leaders of the enemy, and he's saying, you know, David, you know, I can't say anything bad about you. I mean, you've been good. You've conducted yourself the way that a person should. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you haven't done anything wrong. But, of course, still, you're my enemy. But what a compliment to be paid by even your own enemy. So it's important that we watch our conduct. Watch how we act in front of others. We need to be in the right company. We need to go to the right places, do the right things, say the right words, and think the right thoughts. In short, behave wisely. David was also great because he was a spiritual man. We notice that he prayed often. And we have several examples, and we're not going to go through them, but he was always in communication with God. David was also one who opposed images and idols. Again, a testimony to his spirituality. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 21, one example of this. As the Philistines were kind of vacating the place, as they were fleeing, 2 Samuel 5:21, and there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. You know, a lot of times people would have probably just left them standing there. But no, David, he realized that, you know, if we leave these things here, you know, these are idols. And invariably people are going to worship them.
Let's get rid of him. Let's burn him. And that's what they did. He was also one who willingly sacrificed unto the Lord. And it's amazing. Let me bring out one example to bear this point. Is when they were transporting the ark. Did you ever think about how much they sacrificed on the way to bringing that ark to Zion? We're told about this in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and beginning with verse 13. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, now think about it, just 6 paces, 6 steps, he sacrificed oxen and fatness. I'm taking that to mean that every time they went just 6 paces, they stopped to sacrifice before God. Think of all the sacrifices that occurred on their way to Jerusalem. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And then in verse 17, when they finally got there, when they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. You know, our life is a lot like transporting that ark to Zion. Because every step of the way, we ought to be sacrificing. Sacrificing unto God. Every 6 paces, if we have to. Another testimony to David's spirituality was that he praised God often. 2 Samuel 7 and in verse 22. What's amazing about this point here is that even after he was rejected from building the house of God, he still was able to say in verse 22, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears." So in the same sense, just as David was spiritual, we likewise should remember to pray without ceasing. We need to offer up spiritual sacrifices, because that's our duty as Christians. And we need to remember to praise God with our lips. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. What else made David great? I think it was also he had a respect for holy things. He really had a respect for things of God. If you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 24, when he snuck in the cave, and if he wanted to, he could have killed Saul. Saul, who was trying to kill him. But he decided not to. Instead, he just cut off part of his skirt. You know, just to kind of show him that, hey, I was here, right? Somebody told him, well, you know, you ought to go back and just kill Saul. And in verse 6, he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." In other words, David had great respect for Saul. Even though Saul was after him, he realized that Saul was the one that God had anointed to be king over Israel. And he was not going to go against God in that respect. We also should have respect for holy things of God. We should have respect for the church. That means we should support it, attend the services. We should build it up whenever we can. We should have respect for the Holy Bible. How can we do that? We can study it, read it, examine it, meditate upon it daily. We should have respect for the brethren. Visit, fellowship them. Have respect for the holy things of God. And certainly we should have respect for the anointed one, Jesus Christ. And we do that by obeying His commandments. David was also great because he had a desire to build a house for the Lord. You know, David envisioned great things for the Lord's cause. I guess he was always thinking about, you know, what can I do to let more people know about our Jehovah? Have you ever had similar thoughts? Have you ever tried to do anything about it? David was one who placed the Lord in the center of his life. I guess his life revolved around the Lord. Imagine, you know, a lot of people today wouldn't do that, would they? We likewise should do more to help with the cause of Christ. What can we do? Well, we could preach more. We could give more. I'm not talking about money, but just giving of ourselves, giving of our time, of our effort. There's a lot of people that do not care about their congregation. Do I care about my church, my congregation? Am I willing to pitch in and help it out? Number 9. David was great because he had a penitent heart. Let's look at his heart. You know, we're familiar with the incident that he had with Bathsheba. And then later on, he killed Uriah. You know, it's kind of funny the way, you know, we try to cover up our sins. And you know, the only way that a worldly person can cover up a sin is you have to use a bigger sin to do that with. And David kind of took that route here. But what really makes David great is not that he sinned, but that how he recovered from it. I mean, he didn't just let it end there. But it's how we finish the race, isn't it, that counts? Isn't that how we tell who wins or who loses? How do we finish? And as Nathan came before him, the prophet, and explained to him that, and showed David that he had sinned, how did he react? He repented, didn't he? He had that penitent heart. He realized his mistake and, okay, I'm going to accept my punishment. You know, let the Lord do what He will to me. And I suppose this is why he was called a man after God's own heart. Likewise, you know, none of us are perfect. And we are going to sin. But when we do, let's learn to accept responsibility for that sin. Let's learn to repent and also to forgive others. To forgive others. You know, sometimes we're too proud to admit our own faults. And this in itself is a sin. Our hearts can become hardened just through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. So let's be more like David. If we want to be great in the sight of God, let's have that penitent heart. And then the last point is that he was obedient. David was an obedient man. Think about it. He listened to God's instructions and he obeyed. Again, just reading through the books of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, there's a lot of examples where God gave him instructions, and you know what? David did exactly as God told him to. Just kind of like how Noah was when he built the ark. This was said about David also in 1 Kings chapter 14 and in verse 18. This is about a couple generations now after David concerning Jeroboam. 1 Kings 14 and verse 8, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou, talking about Rehoboam, or Jeroboam, it says, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and, now notice this, who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes. In other words, David made it a point that he was going to do what was right in the sight of God. He didn't care what other people thought. He did what was right before God. It's possible that, you know, we're going to make mistakes in life. And yet, it's also possible that we can be credited with following God, just like David was. He did make mistakes, a big one, or at least it's magnified as such in the Scriptures, just to show us that, you know, even though we make mistakes, we can still correct them. We can still obey God, His commandments. So tonight, we've seen that David was a man after God's own heart. And the qualities that we mentioned, the 10 qualities, you know, certainly made him one of the greatest men of all ages. You know, if we had these qualities in us today, I doubt that we'd be very popular in this world, on this earth. However, it's these qualities that will make us great in the sight of God. And so it's going to require a lot of effort on our part. People may make fun of us because of what we do. You know, Benjamin's been telling us lately, you know, that the kids have been asking him about trick-or-treating. You know, and he told them that, you know, he's not going to do it. He never has gone trick-or-treating. He doesn't believe in the implications of that custom. And they tease him about it. They make fun of him. But he's taken a stand. And I think they all realize it. To be great in the sight of God is going to require not only a lot of courage, but also a strong backbone. So we need to have the influence of a good home. We need to have faith in Jehovah. Take advantage of our opportunities. Be lovers of good men. Conduct ourselves properly. We need to be spiritual people. We need to respect holy things. We ought to have a desire to build God's house, to have a penitent heart, and then finally, to be obedient. This evening, we're going to be singing an invitation song. You know, it says, just as I am. Well, let's think about, how am I right now as I stand before God? You know, will I be saved if I were to die right now? Am I great in the sight of God in respect of, would I be saved? You know, these thoughts ought to be on our minds. We ought to be preparing for the day that we die, because we don't know when that will happen. If you are subject to the gospel calling, if you would like to become a member of the Lord's Church, as the book of Acts outlines, gives us many examples. God's Word tells us that we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of our sins, Acts 3, verse 19. We need to confess, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. And then to be baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38, just as those on the day of Pentecost did. We can become a Christian. That's all it takes. Or if we feel like we need the prayers of the church, you know, maybe in one of these points, you know, I need some help. You know, I want to be great. You know, let's not worry about what other people think, but what about before God? The invitation is yours for standing on the stage.